Hello, everyone, and welcome to your monthly Coach Ed conversation with me, Richard Reid, and my number one co-host, Mr. Dan Steele. Dan, how are things with you today?
They are sunny, and now I'm time marking the episode, Richard, but we're first day of spring here in Australia. I know depending on where you are in the world, it might not be the start of spring, or it might not, or it might be the start of your autumn, I think, if that's right. Though it depends, right? Some countries, it's the 21st of September. How are you going?
I am good. I am good. Thanks. And I'm glad you're in good shape as well. So listen, listeners, I am very excited about our conversation topic today. It's an area, if I'm honest, that I continue to wrestle with in my own practice as a coach, and maybe that's a good thing. So in our episode, as normal, Dan and I are going to tackle this topic using our famous three questions. What have we noticed? We're going to think about why is that important, and then we're going to think about, well, what has become clearer as a result. So Dan, jump in there, put our listeners out of their misery. What's our topic today?
Well, wonderful listener. We have been listening to you. It's a two-way effort. And we had a number of people reaching out and talking about this idea of, well, in coaching, how do we ask better questions? So today we're talking about asking better questions, Richard.
Fantastic. So I am intrigued, Dan. What have you noticed in relation to asking better questions in coaching conversations?
I mean, first and foremost, it depends on you as a leader or an instructional coach or a coach. Asking better questions can look really, really different for different people. So depending on who you are, I think there's a couple of aspects. So what I've been thinking about is for me in the work that I'm doing when I'm either doing some leadership coaching with principals, system leaders, assistant principals, or middle leaders, I've really been thinking about the actual, what I think Christian van Neuerberg would say in Radical Listening, his book, internal dimensions of listening to help me ask better questions. So that's just a fancy way of saying, well, what's actually going on inside me so that I can better listen and ask better questions for people. And what I've noticed when I'm working with people, especially around the part when we're trying to get clear about the options, so what is it that they actually need to do to make some progress towards their goal, I've started realizing that there's a really helpful question that I've been using, and I play around with a certain word in it. So after we talk through some different options and we're really clear on what the big thing is they want, and we've got really clear on what that 10 out of 10 or that future perfect would look like, once I name a range of options to just make a little bit of progress, I find something that's been working really well. What I've noticed seems to land well for people is if I say, out of all these options that you've now named, what's the one that most energizes you? Now, the word energizes, I might swap out. So depending on the person, as I find out about them, their backgrounds, because some people would go, oh, I don't like the word energizes. So I might sometimes say, what's the one that you're most drawn to? What's the one, if I'm getting a sense that they feel that there's some multiple things occurring that are quite urgent and important, I might say, what's the thing that's most doable right now? What's the one that's most catching your eye right now? And the reason that I think that helps me, I always love working on asking better questions. It helps me understand and stop bringing that advice monster that we can bring in. You know, I might see, and I have to manage myself internally, like as I share these options, I can see some options that I think could work, but I have to quell that and put that to the side. And by asking that question, you know, what energizes you? Hey, what's the one thing that you can see from those that's most doable or will have biggest impact? I notice it then stops me bringing myself into the conversation, and it can really free them up to then share, well, out of all of this, and suddenly they also share more context. So they'll say, oh, actually these teams are working on this and I'm really mindful. We've got this thing coming up, this event that we need to do, or this update we have to provide to the community. And it just frees us up to better understand their context. So it really stops me from jumping in. It helps me just pause and listen really well. And then as I think about from an instructional coaching lens, I've been recently running a number of workshops with people, and they've also said that option stage. So as an instructional coach, you want to share your expertise. You know, Richard, if you come in as a literacy expert, you know, a literacy specialist, well, you've got expertise. So you get to this point in the conversation when you're hearing the change they want in their classroom and the change they want in their kids. And you might share some options, they might share some options too, and you work together. And it's also a really helpful question. You know, knowing your classes you do, Richard, out of these ones, which one do you think could best help you hit that goal? And it's just enough to still share some of our expertise, but we pause and we bring them back into it and work in partnership. So from an instructional coaching, I think it works really well to help work as a partner. And then from a leadership coaching, or what we'd say, you know, facilitative coaching, if we ask that question around, you know, what energizes you, what's most doable, what's going to have the biggest impact, it just allows us to keep considering the most helpful options to support their progress. And it just helps eliminate us, I think, as much as we can. And is it all right if I share one more thing, Richard?
Please do.
I guess when we're thinking of asking better questions, the other one I've noticed is, and I just did it yesterday with two people I was working with, and they were both, one was in education, one was education adjacent. So someone that's still connected to education, but they're not in a school. And what I found is at certain points, I paused the conversation and just said, well, what's becoming clear, given all that we've covered? And normally I'll say something like, well, since you sat down at the beginning of this conversation and we've covered this, this, and this, what's become clearer? And I don't know when I'm going to ask that question, but sometimes I just get a sense that the person, you know, when they suddenly look up or it seems like they're considering something, or they pause and they hold for the person listening. I'm like doing that thoughtful pose, you know, people put their hand on their chin, or they write a few notes, and it's just enough for me to go, oh, I think there's something emerging for them. So I'll then say, given all that we've covered and you've sat down in the last 27 minutes, you know, what's become clearer? And it's really lovely because it helps me work out what's resonating with them. So I think they're the two things I've really been noticing when it comes to asking better questions I've found has been impactful and helpful for me as a coach to improve my skills and the connection I'm making with people. But it's also helped us have better conversations and continue to support the person.
Fantastic. I love it. And just, I mean, as you go through that, I've written down a number of things here. And if you were to ask me the question right now, what's become clearer for me? The beauty of this podcast is that, you know, we're sharing hints and tips and ideas. Here's things that have worked, here's things that haven't worked, and everything in between. So already into the conversation, and we're only, whatever, 8.5 minutes in. I love that idea of, you know, having gone through a number of different options, there they are on the table. That simple question, what energizes you most? Look at these options. So is there one there that really energizes you more than the others? Or even just changing that word around, depending on the person that you're working with.
Yeah.
And I love the fact, Dan, you've said, whilst you love that, what's becoming clear. I love that honesty. I don't know when I'm going to actually ask it. I have it in here somewhere. You know, it's in there in the bank of questions, but yeah. I just don't know. And I'm waiting for a moment that is going to be most appropriate. And that's super helpful. So listen, so why is this so important?
Well, I think it's, if we're serious about wanting to really support people, and if we're aware of the approach that we're bringing, so even if it's formal coaching, or if I think of when I was an assistant principal and I was working with leaders, if we're aware of how we ask these questions, or when we can not only do it in formal coaching, but also using a coaching approach or that coaching way of leading. And those questions can actually help inform you as a leader to see the person that you're supporting. Like it can prevent you having to put more of the work on yourself. It helps you better understand their context more. It frees you up from that burden of leadership that can be feeling like you have to do it all and the extra responsibility. But I think the critical part is it releases dependency on you having to drive, manage, control things. So I just think that the power is, if I was still in a school and leading teams, being able to ask those sorts of questions really allow you to better understand them. It's genuinely building capacity. Or I would say now, I'm trying not to say capacity building. I try and say discover their capacity, because I'm not sure if we can actually build others' capacity. I think we help them discover their capacity. So I think it frees you up. It allows you to better understand what's happening for them. It allows you to better understand their context. And importantly, it allows you to manage yourself better in the conversation to best support their growth and development. And I know that might sound very, you know, utopian, but it genuinely does work and it helps. So I think that's the thing that's why it matters.
Mm. I love that. I love that idea, because I've written down there, better understanding. You're getting a better understanding of yourself. You're getting a better understanding of the coachee. They're getting a better understanding of themselves. And that links back to the first part, what's becoming clearer. You know, yeah. if our questions are helping to facilitate that, then they're landing really, really well. So if you think about, you know, you've thought about this, you've come up with some ideas which have been really, really helpful and really useful. What's become clearer? So from now on, what's become clear for you, Dan, in your role as a coach when it comes to asking better questions?
I think the critical part is it's how you listen and how you use that superpower of noticing. So the more you do it, and you even gave a lovely little clue before where you said that question, what's becoming clear, is floating in your head somewhere. So that shift that you get as a coach where you feel there's a list of questions you have to ask versus you know they're there and you start to shift and spot opportunities where you go, oh, I think this is the one that could be of help. So you notice opportunities, or you notice a person's body language, what they're hinting at, a sense of urgency. And that allows you to listen, and then you then shift and ask these questions that help you. So I just think in the end, it's the more you can keep managing yourself and do that internal listening. So, you know, instead of having, even if we're doing online coaching, if you're sitting there and you've got some tabs that you've been looking at 10 minutes before you do a conversation, 2 minutes before, like if you just make sure you reduce all the other things and you better turn up, you're more likely to better listen. You're more likely to better notice the person. And you're more likely to then choose a word like energize or doable or practical or achievable. And that has a profound difference on the conversation. You know, I think it's Hey Sun Moon that says a really great provocative thing, which is every question is a loaded question. So depending on the word that you choose to put into the question, that shifts and affects their thinking, regardless of whatever work we try and do. I really love that, because there's no neutral question. So the words that we choose do have a difference. So if we're aware of the way that we're showing up and how we're listening, that can then affect the questioning. So for me, I just think it's really, really fascinating, just digging into that noticing, really listening well, and then that knowing that, that will then help your questioning.
Superb. There's so many little gems here of words that you're mentioning, and I haven't enough time to write them all down, but I've noted a couple. Superpower, that noticing, a superpower. It is a superpower. And it's something that we need to focus on as coaches, constantly trying to develop our ability to notice. And it's a lovely phrase here you used, Dan, being able to shift and spot opportunities for asking the right question at different stages during a coaching conversation. So that means the coach is really on the ball. That's because you have to be noticing if you're going to be able to shift. Because that suggests yeah. you know, some sort of an action and a change, because you've spotted an opportunity, which is a lovely way to put it.
Yeah, I have to do a really big piece of credit too. We've got a wonderful consultant here called Sue Richards, and she wrote a number of years ago now a really incredible article. I think it's on our GCI website, just about the power of noticing. And I remember her and I, when my kids were really little, we would often talk about, they loved superheroes, and they would say, you know, they were the ones that actually came up with this idea of like, is that a superpower you have, Dad? You know, when we're talking about noticing. And so I have to give full credit. It's a really brilliant article, and it just helps take this somewhat vague thing of noticing, and it really allows you to see, it helps you spot opportunities. So full credit to Sue Richards with that.
Fantastic. Duly noted.
I can see you, everyone listening, he is writing it down. So we'll make sure we also do, we'll share this with you. So what about yourself, Richard Reed? So what are you noticing when it comes to asking better questions?
I have a list, Dan. How long have you got? I'm only joking. I have a number of things.
No, that's fine. I've got time for you always.
A number of things, yeah. And I mean, I'm relating all of these to me, and hopefully other people can relate to them as well. So the first thing came to mind when I sat down to think this through was, sometimes we ask questions just far too quickly. You know, I know I do. So if I'm having a coaching conversation and somebody's sharing a scenario, whatever it might be, very quickly questions will pop into my head. I hear a problem or a scenario, and immediately, boom, I'm in there with a question just too soon. You know, I'm not giving the other person time to think. So maybe in the earlier days, you know, when you're developing as a coach, that can be a problem. But even whenever you're, you know, up and running for 10, 15, 20 years, it can still be a temptation, you know, that helping people out, wanting to jump in with a question. And maybe also in those early stages, you know, as a coach, you know, when you're doing your early training courses and so on, you know, you're falling into that trap where you ask leading questions. You use that phrase, you know, a loaded question. There's no such thing as I love that idea. No such thing as a neutral question, you know, and things that I would have asked in the past, you know, things like, have you thought about, you know, could you maybe try, or why don't you, and so on. And, you know, they sound curious, but they actually are really advice disguised as a question, you know, in its simple terms. And it's all too easy, I think, in the middle of a busy coaching conversation. I mean, your brain's going 10 to the dozen. It's flat out. It's hectic, and you're trying to do your very, very best. It's sometimes really easy to lose that, I suppose, that distinction between a question and question-shaped advice, which I think is a lovely way of describing it. The other thing I'm thinking about too is some questions close thinking down, as opposed to others opening questions up. And I think that's an important one, you know. So you share a scenario with me, and I'm saying, okay, so tell me what went wrong there. You know, sometimes can come across maybe as a little bit accusatory or a little bit harsh. So shifting that to, well, what have you noticed? You know, that simple, really effective question, what have you noticed? Or if I'm saying to you, Dan, so what else, you know, what else might be going on? You know, shifting that to something that, what might you not yet be seeing? Just turning that around a little bit into a better question. The difference isn't simply the words. Okay, the words are important, but it's the thinking that the question creates that I think is the important thing. And we can become obsessed. I've been as guilty as anybody else. And I know when I'm working with the folks in the CAP program, fabulous people, and they're getting all excited about learning, you know, these different aspects of coaching. Sometimes we can become obsessed with finding the perfect question, you know. And I think sometimes maybe better questioning isn't about having a bank of clever questions, and we can have, you know, a big bank sitting at the side or a notebook and so on and so forth. It's actually about, as you say, Dan, listening better, noticing. There's that word, noticing in. Noticing what's underneath, what's behind what the person said. What are they not saying? Just being more curious, you know. So the best question you ask isn't always one that you've prepared in advance. And I think that links in well with what you've said. You might have a cracking good question in there. You just don't know exactly when you're going to use it. To go back to your phrase, you're going to need to shift and spot an opportunity to use that question. Not just jump in, by the time I get to the end of this hour, I'm going to have jolly well asked that question. You know, that's not how we need to operate as coaches. And in many ways, you know, the answer, and I think this is interesting, the answer to our question sometimes tells us whether the question was useful or not. Okay, so I'm asking you a question, you gave a very quick, predictable answer. Maybe that question hasn't really stretched you at all, hasn't taken you anywhere new, you know. So a really useful question could produce silence, a little bit of quiet, or actually, and I think this is fascinating, should produce a little bit of uncertainty. Okay, you know, somebody says, well, I never really thought about that way, you know, could start to change perspectives. Or isn't it lovely as a coach, Dan, you'll be able to relate this, as well our listeners, when somebody says, hey, that's a really good question. And we think as coaches, happy days, this has landed really well. And I have managed to shift, spot an opportunity, and I've got that feedback right in front of me. That's a really good question, because immediately you can see them starting to think. So I think sometimes the best questions create a little, if I can use the phrase, productive discomfort. That's when you get in the quiet, somebody going, now that's a good question.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, because recently, so while we've been doing the Instructional Coaching Roadshow, there was a number of times we show a video, and it's Christian Van Nieuwenberg coaching someone. So it's executive coaching or leadership coaching, and there's 14 seconds of silence. He asks one question. There's 14 seconds of silence. Now, in education, a majority of like most meetings and things, the typical wait time's about 0.6, 0.7 of a second, you know, before someone says something. So this is 14 seconds.
Yeah.
And what emerged from three different cities working with all these people was they realized they weren't comfortable sitting in the discomfort. So I think that's a really interesting idea that we ask a question, but we also have to be aware that we have to be confident enough as a coach to sit in that silence with them too, because if we've noticed that they're in productive struggle or the productive discomfort,
yeah,
that's okay. But a lot of people realized they were sitting there tensing up, and I could see people, oh gosh. So I think that's a really helpful thing. And then also what you're sharing about those deceptive questions that are actually tag questions, right? You're actually it's a comment. It's a tag question. You're not actually asking a question. And typically in my family, between my wife and I, one of us will ask the other one, you know, have you put the washing out? And really what we're actually saying is, can you put the washing out? We both do it to each other all the time. And we've now we actually say, that's a tag question. But as you think about everything that you've named there, you know, so if we think of, we're aware that there's expansive questions, there's questions that we say that then shut the person down from thinking.
Yeah.
And if we think about trying to dial up that curiosity, trying to promote that discomfort, that productive discomfort, I love that phrasing. I'm actually going to use that in next time I set up some contracting with a client. I'm actually going to say, my job's to actually help set you up for some productive discomfort. I'd love that. So thank you. But if you think if you're doing all of that, what difference do you think that will make to the people you're working with?
Goodness. You see a major difference. Ultimately, questions are there to determine better thinking. That's why we're asking better questions, so that the person in front of you, their thinking's going to improve. You know, for example, you know, so how are you going to fix this? You know, I'm asking that question already. I'm framing it as a problem to fix, whereas I'm thinking, okay, so what are you noticing about what's happening here? I think the noticing word comes up again and again and again. I'm finding that really helpful in coaching conversations. So I'm inviting observation before the contemplation of a solution. Okay, so that idea of increasing observation time, and essentially that's thinking time for the coachee, you know, and it's the question that creates the opportunity for that observation time, if it's a good question, if it's a better question. It also creates, I think, a little bit of ownership in there, you know. So rather, we've talked about this again and again, you know, rather than giving our interpretation, our solution and so on, we help them develop their own thinking. You know, our job isn't necessarily to have the best question, it's to help the coachee do their best thinking, you know. And I think something that's going to be, I think, really impactful is questions, at the end of the day, they communicate what we value. So we're talking about this as coaches, yes, but you mentioned it, and rightly so, Dan, earlier on about, you know, leaders. There's leaders listening to this podcast. So the questions that we ask communicate what we value, sometimes without us even realizing it. So you think about, you know, the question leaders will repeatedly ask their staff, and I mean, I've had the privilege of leading three schools. So what really matters here? You know, what are we paying attention to? My questions are going to answer some of those things. You know, who owns the problem? You know, are mistakes something to investigate or something to hide in this place? By the way, I ask my questions, you know, do we value compliance or curiosity? You know, you think of a leader who consistently asks, okay, so what's the solution? What's the solution here? That creates a very different culture from someone who asks, what are we learning here? I love the question, yeah. Dan, what have we grown through this? Or if you think about, you know, being anti-fragile, I think about resilience, how might we grow through this is a lovely question to ask, you know? So we talk about our questions, you know, can help slow us down. You talked about, you know, being expansive or closing things down, even the pace of a conversation. You know, sometimes we don't need another question. What we need, and I struggle with this, trying to, you know, constantly challenge myself, what we need sometimes is to think about this question a little bit longer. And sometimes mm-hmm. that's my responsibility as a coach, to hold us within that question for a little bit longer, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It makes me think of when I used to work with our school improvement team. So we had a core team who had oversight to make sure that we were really focused on the key things that we knew would best impact the kids in our setting. And we had really, we worked in a very disadvantaged community. Who all really valued education. And I brought a coaching approach to those meetings. So I realized my whole role was to give people the right sort of questions, and I didn't know what they were going to be depending on the conversation. Yeah. But it was for that. It was to give them opportunities to pause and think. And so therefore, I would sometimes name it, and this might sound really silly, but I'd say, all right, everyone, so out of all the things that we've spoken about, what is going to have the most direct impact now and then also in a year on the kids that we're working with? And then I'd normally say, this is the potentially stupid part. I then say, I'm now going to shut up for a minute and just give you time to think. We also knew who are our more extroverted team members, and we'd say, for all of us extroverts, that means we need to actually grab a post-it note and sit down and write some things. But it was about giving them the time to just think instead of, and I really love your point about the pace. It was to build in purposeful, slow moments. I found that was my role as the leader, or, you know, using that coaching approach, to build in the slowness, to give them time to think. In an industry, or, you know, in education, we don't normally say, oh, my day went really slow. Gee, that was a slow day. You know, so as to try and build in those pause points to let them have space to think. So yeah. I really, really love that idea. And I think it's a really practical practical set of thinking and options for asking better questions that you've just shared with everyone. But Richard, as we've covered all of these things in the last 27 minutes from when you first sat down and we started recording, what's become clearer?
I think, ultimately, questioning begins with listening. We've said that today, and we've hit the nail right in the head. I think it's down to listening. You know, you can't ask a good question if you're already planning your next one. I think it's a good thing to think about in a coaching. I'm so guilty of that so many times. You know, I'm going to have 15 questions banked up here ready to go. We can't do that. We need to focus on the listening first. And fewer questions are definitely better. You know, there's a temptation, I think, sometimes to keep, we like to feel that we keep the conversation momentum going, and that means lots of words all the time. And we fill those gaps sometimes with questions. But actually, if you think about it, one really good question plus silence, you mentioned 14 seconds, is actually far more powerful than five mediocre questions and just a lot of chat. You know, so thinking about that balance, I think, is really important. And I think something you touched on a really important point earlier on, Dan, is that a question needs to be a good fit for the other person. So there's the noticing again. Okay, so it needs to connect with, as you said, their context, their thinking. So throughout the process, if you're 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes in, how's the thinking been going? Their readiness, you know, is an element in there as well. So how's the whole conversation emerging in many ways? But ultimately, you know, you're thinking about, you know, curiosity is much more important than cleverness. So you don't need to be a coach who has the best coaching questions. I don't think that's something that we need to be, you know, aspiring for. You need to be genuinely interested in just what's going on right in front of you. And I think that just, that ultimately changes the quality of your questioning. So for me, I suppose to summarize, we need to shift from seeing questioning as a technique to seeing questioning as a natural product of genuine curiosity. You know, think less about questions producing better answers, more about questions producing better thinking, in a nutshell.
I think that's so powerful. And I'd really invite the person listening, or if you're watching, I think there's two aspects. I would love to see people comment or send through to us. Mm. So what is it that you do when you're genuinely interested? And what are the questions when it's gone well? What has asking a better question actually sounded like or looked like? So I'd love that. When you're genuinely interested, what is it that you do? And then when you've asked better questions, what's it looked like or sounded like? And I just think we've got this brilliant community around the world of people that are really interested in this space.
Yeah.
So I think that would be wonderful for people to share and see, because, you know, you said, yeah, you might have a bank of 15 questions, but the only way you can get better at using them is to see and consider them, and then you give them a go as the opportunities present themselves. But
yeah,
power's in sharing, you know, different ways of wording it, or slight words you might use. I think there's a power in that. So I'd love for people listening or watching to be able to share those through, because it's a great community when we actually all get engaged and share with each other.
Yeah. a lovely invitation. So folks, you've listened. Dan has given a lovely invitation just to hear a little bit of your thoughts, your ideas. Thank you, Dan, for your input today. I've genuinely enjoyed that. I've written a number of things down, which I always find really useful. And I use these literally the next day and the day after and so on. I'm quite sure our listeners will be inspired to think a little more carefully and maybe a little bit more intentionally in a way, well, about the questions that we ask in the days and weeks ahead. And as always, listeners, please do take a time to visit our website, growthcoaching.com.au, for lots of fantastic resources and more information on the other courses we offer. Dan mentioned that article by Sue earlier on as well. Check those out. But for now, keep asking better questions with the intention of generating better thinking. And we will see you all on the next episode of Coach Ed Conversations.